Have you fixed that yet?
Have I? Have I?
Right.
Hey everyone, I'm Madonna and this is David. And we're going to chat about heart health today. So one of my beautiful friends had a heart attack after her daughter's wedding. So a
The
stent
two
and
things aren't related.
no, well, who knows? But you know, there's always build up to, of stress to a wedding. And you know, it was in there. Beautiful.
Well,
It was
that's a
at their,
surprise after a wedding.
yeah, and sort of quite sad for the whole family because it does put a bit of a dampener on it. But regardless, you know, just thinking about heart health and going back 10 years ago, I remember at a seminar they were saying that 50% of people over the age of 50 don't really get caught within the medical web that's looking for things to do with heart disease. So their blood pressure or their cholesterol or their blood thinning or all of those
Stress
things.
levels.
Well, we've chatted about this before, but I did listen to a lady speak. She'd been a cardiovascular surgeon for 30 years, and not once did it occur to her that stress was involved in heart disease. So she started
She was a cardiologist.
cardiovascular surgeon. So
So
she
right.
did heart surgeries. And it wasn't until she sort of started hearing murmurs within the natural therapy realm that there might be a link with stress and heart attacks that she actually.
It's funny, isn't it? When
But
you study counseling, it's like there's an emphasis on stress as a
causative agent for just about everything.
that's right. And just about anything is any chronic disease is made worse by stress. So because you have risk factors and protective factors, and so that's one of the chief risk factors. But for cardiovascular, for blood sugar levels, for just about anything metabolic,
And
you've
here in
got stress.
Australia,
Stress is the main.
and here in Australia, pretty much if someone gets diabetes, they're put on all the usual medications, they're put on blood pressure medications and blood thinners and cholesterol drugs, like automatically. So there's a combination of medications that are being utilized that,
There's an extra one for blood sugar.
well, usually metformin or something like that. So there are some blood. And what they do, things like metformin, they have the ability to change the genetics of other body tissues. So we're designed in nature to lay down excess sugar in our tummy fat so that we can put on weight over winter. So if we're starving to death, freezing to death, we've got the excess fat that we can utilize for either energy or warmth in our body. Of course, in Western worlds, I'm not going to speak blanketly around the world, but in Western worlds, there's not a lot of starvation going on these days.
Well, but there were traditional ways of means of doing things in like European country where they really can't grow food in winter very easily traditionally. And especially in countries like Russia where it's really cold, it was a real struggle just to get to the end of winter and be okay. You can see Russian memes about it where they're talking about the difference between September and January.
Interesting. Yeah, so with heart disease, especially here in Australia, you know, we know that things like exercise, we know that things like infrared saunas, we know that there's lots of stress things that we can do to really help that heart, like that first sunshine in the morning, which activates the nitric oxide, which is really a powerful tool for your heart. From a counseling perspective, obviously, there's some tools like Wim Hof breathing, those sort of breathing techniques.
All types of yoga have become so exercise and yoga are now the main supportive tools they find in the main studies. And so exercise particularly. But the problem with exercise, sometimes people might do something like injure their knee, and it's very hard to do cardiovascular things after that, unless you swim or ride a bike. But either way, sometimes
You're
people,
doing weights elsewhere on the body.
but a lot of middle-aged people, they'll put a hip out or a knee out. And then they'll have years of being fairly immobile, and it's hard to get that up, especially if you've been used to like I hurt my knee, and I was used to running my whole life. And when you stop running, it's really hard to do anything that can get the cardio up like that. Walking doesn't do it. Bike riding, you have to ride like 10 times as far, and it's not as because you can go for a short run in 20 minutes and sprint up the hills and really do a lot of goodness for yourself.
Yeah. And I know with cardiovascular health, it's also huge movements. So even when you can't move your knees, you can do all sorts of big body movements. And
Right.
big body movements get that heart going. Did you ever see Kath and Kim? You know, here in Australia, Kath and Kim is a comedy show. And of course, you know, they would get the movement going while they were out walking, looking totally ridiculous, but very, very funny. Very iconic Australian. Pretty silly. But yeah, so with the cardiovascular system, a lot of it's about getting that those blood vessels really working very well. So a
I'll
couple of
say, so things like Wim Hof breathing you mentioned before, definitely does that. And but it's a bit of a commitment, but it only takes 10 minutes to do
And people
it.
are, well, if they're not time poor, they're time lazy because they get home and they're just exhausted. So, you know, a couple of the nice little supplements that I really enjoy for that. One of them is Nature's Sunshine CardioCirc, and it's available all around the world. And some of the ingredients in it are things like hawthorn berries, which helps to strengthen the heart muscle, capsicum, which helps to stimulate blood flow and vascular tone, and garlic, which helps to reduce blood pressure and support heart health.
So when you look at herbs like this, hawthorn berries, they grow in China, but capsicum and garlic, they're things you can get at the shop. What's the difference between a herb made of that stuff compared to the actual
It's dose
fruit?
of the active ingredient.
So it's concentrated.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally different. You know, so in India, where they've got fairly low heart disease, or they have had, you know, over the years, part of what they have, like where every single meal has lots of herbs and spices in, you know, the traditional
Especially
Indian
turmeric,
eating.
right?
Yeah, lots. But
Anti-inflammatory.
well, on average, they have about 8 or 10 herbs. You know, you've cooked traditional Ayurvedic food.
And most herbs are alkalizing.
Yeah, well, they are waking up the body's system. There's also this process that herbs do called it's an activation of the tissue in the gut, which deliberately creates inflammation, which activates the immune responses. So sometimes it's not even a gentle way of activating the body. It's doing something deliberately to kickstart a mechanism in the body, which is really powerful. So that's one of my favorites. And another one that is from that company, Cerule, is plasma flow. And, you know, so the thing that I really like about plasma flow is that when we look at live blood screening, we're going to do your live blood at some stage, basically it helps to clean out the capillaries. So when we're having a heart attack and people talk about blockages, those blockages, everyone blames it on cholesterol, but the cholesterol is only released from the liver when the liver is struggling in the body. So that cholesterol that's laid down on those capillary beds is there because there's toxins, and the toxins can be anything. It could be glyphosate, it could be pesticides, it could be stress hormones, it could be, you know, colorings and flavorings and preservatives, it could be paints and chemicals, and as well as heavy metals and all sorts of things. So there's a lot.
Basically, non-useful stuff that you're getting inside.
That's right. And, you know, this is what creates tumors as well. Basically, it's the body being really clever and trying to keep something the body doesn't like separated, you know, from the rest of the body. So it's you know, with heart disease, you know. Now you've had some experience. So what are the herbs or nutrients that you find the best for you when you feel anything?
Well, I've been on the normal medications. I can't remember what they are, but it's 12 months now, so I'm off the awful blood thinners
Yeah, good.
that smell horrible. And my wife says they smell horrible. Yeah, they're just unpleasant, and I'm glad to be off that. But I've started taking Inflamood, and but last time I went to the
Which is a
doctor.
combination of turmeric and saffron.
Yeah, but as it was with the even with the meds I was taking, my blood pressure was still high. Every like up to 140 when I'd start, I'd just take it 140, and it should be 120. And so, but I ran out of meds. I went and saw the doctor, and I ran out of meds. And because I'd stopped taking the there's a blood thinning it takes for 12 months called I don't know, I don't remember what it's called, but it's but I stopped taking that. And so with the meds, my blood pressure was fairly high with the meds. As soon as I stopped taking that, I started taking Inflamood, and my blood pressure's gone down to between 120 and 130 when I start now. And then she's upped my dose of one medication, which has done the same thing, but I had a gap in between where I tried the Inflamed
Yes.
and measured my blood pressure, and it brought it down. So that was an interesting experiment.
I remember one doctor who spoke at a conference years ago. He was saying that they're starting to really look at heart disease as an autoimmune disease, as an autoimmune condition, where there's because the white blood cells and the cholesterol are basically doing job of the immune system. So for something to be autoimmunity, there has to be like an immune dysfunction where the body's attacking itself in some way. There has to be inflammation and there has to be gut dysregulation. So they're the three things that go hand in hand. And he was putting heart disease in that category. Because again, you know how we've talked about if you've got leaky gut, that will affect something else in the body. So leaky gut, leaky brain,
Changes.
yeah, absolutely. Leaky gut, leaky brain can lead to any of our dementias, Alzheimer's, autisms, that sort of thing. Leaky gut, leaky skin can lead to any of the things like skin cancers or dermatitis or eczema or any of that sort of thing. Leaky gut, leaky lungs can lead to things like asthma, bronchiectasis, bronchitis, chronic breathing issues. And that type of thing. So, was it one of these drugs that you were on? So,
Yeah, that's the one.
the clopidogrel. Yep.
Good to have clopidogrel.
Clopidogrel.
Dogrel. Clopidogrel.
Yeah, right. So, it helps to inhibit platelets.
Funny, dogrel. Dogrel's a traditional English word that meant a herb that wasn't useful.
Yeah, right.
It's in
Interesting.
the Lord of the Rings. It was Aragorn.
Yep.
He wanted this particular herb when they had
Yep.
the black. After they came back from being wounded by the King of the Ringwraiths,
Yep.
and he wanted this herb, and they said, "Oh, but it's a doggerel." In other words, it wasn't any good.
Huh.
That's interesting. I just noticed that then. So,
Interesting.
doggerel's the word, clopidogrel. They use funny words in medicine. I always look at the words and I go, "That word means that."
Yeah. Are
No, well, it's
they having a
like the anti-cancer one called Effudex.
Yeah. You gotta laugh. You
Yeah.
gotta laugh. But yeah, so also diet, you know, there's been studies coming out lately saying that sugar is the worst thing for the heart, along with stress and that sort of thing. So they've been blaming it on fats for decades. Fats are not the problem.
Sugar
And they
can't
never
be the
have
fat.
been. Well, sugar creates insulin resistance. Insulin resistance and diabetes are a precursor to heart disease because by the time you've got an organ not dealing with your sugars and your insulin, then you are basically damaging the capillary walls every day of your
But be,
life.
but 4 years, because I've been involved in this discussion between naturopaths and doctors for like
Ever.
30 years. And one thing I noticed is that there's like because if you look at it from a causal perspective,
Yeah.
the medical way of doing things is limited in that. Like, what's the cause of the problem, right? Because the cause is different for different people, obviously.
Yeah.
Because you end up with the outcome, which will be a heart attack or clogged up arteries. But we've got but what's causing that?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So you've got that problem, and they're good at going, okay, we'll give you this platelet thing, we'll give you this, and we'll stabilize it.
Yeah.
But then after that, you've got the drugs, but yeah, if you haven't changed your lifestyle, you've got the original problem you had that
Exactly.
caused it in the first
And
place.
usually more mineral deficiencies because just about every medication depletes minerals from your body.
Right, but it's that causal thing that is. It's something that's been ever since because I used to be a designer and I had clients who were naturopaths and so it was like that was always a part of the discussion that the medical people won't look at the causal elements.
Right.
And so causal elements for even if they're talking about cholesterol, the cause is going to be eating too much food that creates too much of something that causes a problem. Except they don't look at looking at the diet. Do you know what I mean? It's like just take the drug.
Again, this week, you saw Bobby Kennedy is going to introduce nutrition into med schools for doctors.
I did see that, but nutrition is only one aspect.
Yeah, hey, it's a
You know,
start.
it's a
It's a
start.
start. You know, don't pick good things.
But generally, if you get to a causal analysis of anything,
Yeah.
because in counseling, it's like an example is a kid's got ADHD symptoms, right? But that could be because of child abuse and neglect,
Yeah.
or if it's
Could be
ADHD,
sugar.
or it could be, well, something to bring on the symptoms fairly strong. You need something quite You know what I mean?
Sugar can do it. I have absolutely seen an ADHD kid turn within 15 minutes of having sugar.
Yeah, I
It
know,
can absolutely cause it.
but that's not the point. No, but that's not what I mean.
Okay.
To cause the condition itself,
Yep.
which can be exacerbated by sugar, something has to occur. And so if you get to the causal thing, like I'll give you an example. Kids with high ACE scores, right, often exhibit ADHD symptoms,
Yep.
right? But is it from the ACE score, adverse childhood experience,
Yeah.
neglect or abuse, or is it because of a brain thing that where the pre, because both things cause the prefrontal cortex to not be enabled properly.
Yeah, sugar increases cortisol. Cortisol shuts down the frontal cortex.
Right. And so, well, yeah, but to get a condition where, like, some people with ADHD, like the
Oh, this
pre,
is where we differ. I
well,
disagree.
no, but
I think sugar is a huge cause of ADHD.
I don't, I'm not saying that's wrong.
Yeah.
Right. Because what I'm saying is that to get a condition where somebody's behavior becomes so intense that it's a problem,
Yeah.
right? Because before that, we wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah.
But if somebody can't, if somebody, just say you've got a kid in there and their school levels are so low, they can't do English or maths at all, that's when you recognize the problem. When it becomes a problem in life, otherwise, why would ADHD be a problem if you're really functional?
Yeah.
Right? So when it becomes a dysfunctional element, which is where they normally pick it up in school because the grades start going right down because
Yeah.
they can't get to the end of a problem, right? What I'm saying about causal elements in counselling is that sometimes you've got a kid with ADHD, but if you look at a differential diagnosis and you look at the causal aspects in their childhood environment,
Yeah.
which might be abuse or neglect, they've got the same symptoms, but the cause is different in one case,
Yeah.
right? You've got a cause that comes from abuse or neglect, or a cause that comes from maybe some partly genetic thing or something else that happened that has brought it on.
Yeah.
People who get poisoned, some poisons also bring on that ADHD thing. And they found that parents who have lead poisoning when they conceive, often that becomes a first generation of ADHD. That's how they're saying it. But the only reason I'm bringing up those things is because when you've got different causal backgrounds, the symptoms will relate differently depending on what the cause is.
Yeah.
Like, just say the cause is a childhood thing. And then you can do counselling and work out the childhood problem and resolve it.
Yeah.
Those symptoms can withdraw.
There was an episode of MASH my hubby and I watched this morning, and Hawkeye dealt with some dude who came in, and within that night he went to sleep and he starts violently sneezing in the middle of his sleep, which was a bit odd. And within a day or so, he's like scratching from head to toe and thinking he was going to die. And they'd done all these allergy tests on him and nothing was showing up. So of course they bring in good old Sydney Friedman, the psychiatrist, and they start chatting about what had happened the night of the thing. And he'd dealt with one kid who'd turned up with mold on his clothes, so they'd had to throw out all the things. Of course, it took him back to a childhood memory at 7 years old when he was gone fishing with his cousin Billy. And cousin Billy, this is the story that comes out through the thing, he'd blocked out the fact that his cousin Billy threw him into the water when he stood up, but then he saved his life and had to ka-chink him back. And he loved his cousin Billy because he saved my life. But anyway, it came out
But it
that
brought a sneezing episode.
well, it broke because there was a whole wet clothes. So the whole wet clothes from the current time in, obviously it's a TV show, but it's sort of interesting because that's the sort of thing that happens. Because when we smell things that can take us to a memory, that can activate just about any memory as well.
And ADHD might not be the best example, but if you can find the cause of something, it's helpful.
Yeah.
Because if you can find out what's causing it, like, because, because you deal with it all the time, someone ends up with the symptoms, they've been to the doctor, they've got their blood tests, they come in and see you, because they've reached the end of what they can do with this.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, well, you can do this and this, because you see there's a problem with the microbiome, something with the gut, or there's
Yeah.
something else, or one of the other organs isn't functioning as well as it should be,
Yeah.
and you get that up and running and things improve, because
Yeah.
that's more of a causal way of going.
Yeah, and once you get people onto herbs that actually tone the brain and the nervous system and the vagal nerve and the sympathetic parasympathetic nervous system, it
Get
allows
everything
everything to,
functioning
yeah,
again.
it allows everything to work
Because
better.
what's a better example of what you do? Like you'll, what's something you sell a bit of, like digestive
Oh
enzyme?
yeah.
Like what's the causal thing going on there? There's some causal thing where your gallbladder wouldn't be producing
Or your stomach, or your pancreas, or your liver.
Right.
Yeah,
Then
not
so
releasing
some
enough
not releasing the
enzymes.
digestive things. Whereas so what you do with that compared to if someone went to what would you do if you went to the doctor? I suppose they've got the medical version of
So
digestive
what the
things.
doctor would see would probably be reflux or heartburn or something. So they'd be put on proton pump inhibitors to actually inhibit the fermentation. But the fermentation is actually, it's the end result of a lack of digestive enzymes. So they totally miss the boat.
Because that and that fermentation can be in any part of the digestive tract,
Yeah, so if you
stomach,
get,
lower,
yeah, so
middle,
some people will end
small.
up with palpitations in their heart. We've chatted about this before. So if we have a meal that we're not digesting properly, we can ferment the food in our stomach up to three times the size of the meal. So, and your stomach and your heart, they're right next to each other. So if your stomach's, and then your heart starts to pump, and all of a sudden you go, oh, I'm anxious, you know, and medically they just, you know, you miss the
Well,
boat a bit. And of course, stress shuts
but
down your
just
gut.
but sticking to the causal point
Yes.
by just looking at the symptom and not the causal aspect, you end up with not fixing the problem again.
Exactly. So I'll just find a picture of the vagus nerve for a start, because this is a really good picture. If people haven't seen how big the vagus nerve is, it's just one of these things that is head to toe. Let me just, the vagus nerve, basically, you know, you can access the ends of your vagus nerve. Anything we do with our ears tends to help the vagus nerve. It's partly why with our little AO hub, we've got these little vagal nerve stimulators that work in
One
there.
side's on, the other one comes off the middle. Do they both go up to the same place? That's different how we learned it at uni.
Yeah, right, because there's a big ganglion in behind there that, you know, the vagus nerve, and then it sort of is around your heart, your lungs, your liver, your stomach, your esophageal plexus, your kidney, your colon, your small intestines. So it's such a huge nerve because it wraps around all of those organs. So this is why we've got such a massive gut-brain connection. So when we're stressed, that vagus nerve can actually affect any symptom in the body.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's linking everything.
Yeah. And then the vagus nerve has the ability to balance the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems. So when you think about that, the sympathetic nervous system is the one that it's about fight and flight. So it is about long-term stress. It's about, let me get a little picture of this. Okay. So you can see like the sympathetic nervous system is in times of stress. So it dilates the pupil, we get a dry mouth, the airways don't work, they are opening up so that we can, you know, run and do whatever we need to do. We get a faster heartbeat, it shuts down the gut, it releases glucose from the liver, it inhibits the intestines, the adrenal glands start releasing epinephrine, norepinephrine, and the bladder relaxes so you can pee yourself. And the reproductive system, you know, gets decreased blood supply. So people these days are often in sympathetic nervous.
Sympathetic's the automatic one.
Sympathetic, well, they're both automatic. They're both part of the autonomic nervous system, but it's where we are sitting in stress as to which one's dominant. And a lot of people these days are sympathetic dominant because of chronic stress to do with money, to do with lifestyle, to do with relationships, to do with work. To do with not being authentic, to do with, you know, in other words, just doing things you have to do because, you know, we've all got to make a living. And
It's funny, we were told when all they made all this technology and improvements that
oh
we'd all
yeah
be able to just relax
yeah
because we've got the washing machine and
yeah
the
they're the
dryers
funny
and
humans, aren't they? Yeah.
that.
And then the parasympathetic nervous system, you know, the pupils constrict, their saliva stimulates, the airways constrict, the heart slows down, the digestion gets stimulated, gallbladder gets stimulated, intestines get stimulated, bladder constricts, and there's increased blood supply to the reproductive tract. And that's one of the things a lot of people who can't fall pregnant, quite often they just are in this chronic stress, poor darlings, you know, because they're just not able to go there. Because, you know, and again, these days with IVF, people are spending 30 grand a pop. It's absolutely massive amounts of
Fertility rates
money.
have gone down.
Yeah, hugely, by about 80%. So unfortunately, that is a.
Well, there's a huge birth decrease in the Western world,
There is.
Western country.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the problems is going to be getting that circulation. And I think we've chatted before about the mitochondria. So sperm and egg have the most mitochondria per cells of anywhere in the body. So the heart is known to have the most mitochondria, but it has about 5,000 mitochondria per muscle cell, whereas sperm and eggs have about 100,000 to 500,000 mitochondria per sperm and egg. Anyway. So with the heart, you've got to look at circulation, you've got to look at de-stressing, got to get some, I believe you've got to get some good supplements in there, something that's going to repair it. If you've had heart attacks, heart disease, one of my favorites is Stem Enhance, because stem cells will be drawn to the area in the body that's most important, and your heart is pretty freaking important. So if you have any heart issues, that's often the place. We've seen studies that have been done with the Stem Enhance Ultra, where within 30 days, people can have entirely new hearts because stem cells are drawn to that area first. So it's amazing.
Interesting. I heard a study the other day that oxytocin,
Oh yes,
which is
the hugging.
the affectionate, increases stem cells in the heart.
Yeah, right. That's pretty cool.
It's interesting, and people are becoming more, because they say with the internet, people are more connected, like that, like
Yeah.
this, but not like this.
Yeah.
And so there could be a oxytocin decrease.
Yeah, there will be. Just all the division between families and that sort of thing these days. It's really quite awful. And it's but there's lots of things that help to increase, our stem cells. Things like coffees and cacaos and omega-3s and aloe vera, moringa, lots of the algae, colostrum, so they all help with stem cell release. People who have devices like the pulsed electromagnetic frequencies with red light, that helps to stimulate. I think dark chocolate, there's a whole cacao connection to releasing stem cells as well. Some of the berries do too. Exercise, obviously, that stimulates circulating stem cells. Yeah, lots of good stuff. Turmeric, ginger tea, ginger, by reducing inflammation, it allows stem cells to be released. Sunshine, grounding, getting that circadian rhythm going. So lots of good stuff.
What's that for mitochondria?
No, that's all for the release of stem cells. But yeah, in order to have a good heart, you need good mitochondrial health, because the lower the mitochondria levels in those heart muscles, the lower the heart health is. And I've got this guy who I took from 18% heart function up to 55% within 3 weeks. He took a crap load of supplements, but was bloody awesome.
Yeah, if you put them in hard.
So he said, my witch doctor's better than her witch doctor, which is very, very cool. Okay.
Well, they don't burn them anymore, so
Witches.
yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Gotta applaud them. I had one of my clients yesterday say that he's going back to pagan ways. I thought, pagan ways? What do you mean by that? And he meant that he's grown up in a real medical thing and he's going back to natural. And I thought,
Right.
oh, pagan. Okay. I thought he meant, the sun god or something like that. I wasn't sure what he meant. Yeah.
Yeah, right,
Okay.
pagan.
Yeah, that's funny. I never thought of myself as pagan.
Well, nothing wrong with
Yeah.
it.
Anyway, so I hope there's some gems in there. CoQ10, really important for the heart as well,
And the mitochondria.
and the mitochondria. Creatine, that inner membrane of the mitochondria is all coenzyme Q10 and creatine. So creatine, and these days for Alzheimer's and dementia, they're finding if people are having like 20 grams a day within four of creatine within 4 weeks, people's brains are just waking up. Creatine's a bit like eating concrete, so you've got to find a good way of having it, a good blended smoothie or something that makes the medicine go down. Yeah.
Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins. Yeah, beautiful. Any last thoughts, David?
Spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. I don't think you're allowed to say that anymore.
Well,
With the sugar problems and all.
yes. We need a it's a Just a spoonful of monk fruit juice makes the medicine go
Well, sweetness is good.
down. Sweetness is good just in small doses. Anyway, so that's been, yeah. So heart disease, we got to look after ourselves
And
and
reduce the stress,
reduce the stress.
find ways.
Absolutely. Upregulate your feel-good hormones.
Exercise, yoga.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, everyone, see you later. Bye.